Hello everyone, my name is Daud Tariq and I'm visiting SRI from Pakistan, and I'm going to be talking about automated collection of application level provenance data. And this is work done with Ashish Kihani at SRI International and Ms. Emily, who was visiting SRI International. So the first question is, why do we need application level data provenance? And our motivation for this work derives from the fact that applications and processes are complex entities and can perform a variety of tasks. For example, an application may spawn multiple threads doing different tasks, such as disk I/O or network activity and so on. So to treat these complex processes as single entities results in loss of useful data. So just to illustrate this point, I have this provenance graph of a simple web server that's reading different files and serving data to different clients over the network. Now, just looking at this graph, we cannot conclusively determine which file was served to which client. So in the absence of context, if we look at a write by any process, we have to assume that that particular write depended on all reads made by that process up to that point. So this introduces lots of false dependencies in provenance graphs. And for long-running applications, this could be a huge problem because web servers and similar applications run for extended periods of time. And such false dependencies could be a problem in provenance graphs. So our approach. Right. The server is the blue process, the third one in the middle. That's reading the files that are ovals. And the network connections are diamonds. So it's reading the four files and serving them to three different clients. So the first step is to capture the provenance data. And for this purpose, we make use of the LLVM framework. So I'm just going to give a brief overview of how we use it. I'm not going to go into the details. So the LLVM framework is basically a compiler infrastructure that allows users to optimize their programs. And it achieves this by converting source code into an intermediate representation on which transformations or optimizations can be performed. And then this optimized representation can then be converted and linked to produce the final output or executable binary. The LLVM pass framework is part of LLVM, which performs the actual transformations during the optimized phase. And this has different classes of passes. For example, I mean, depending on how the user may want to optimize their application, they could use these different classes from the pass framework. For example, there's the module pass, which treats the entire program as a single unit and performs the transformation or the optimization on the whole program as a whole. There's the loop pass, which executes optimizations over loops in the program. And there's the function pass, which treats each function within the application as a separate unit and performs optimization on each of these units. So we make use of the function pass, and we implement our LLVM tracer as a function pass to insert function level instrumentation code. So essentially what this does is that it inserts provenance instrumentation code in each function within the application. And what that does is it emits the function name, the thread ID, arguments, and the return value of that function. So now that we've have a way to emit provenance instrumented data from the application, we need to capture it and convert it into provenance semantics. And to capture this data, we make use of another tool that we've developed at SRI called Spade. And this is basically a software infrastructure for collecting and managing provenance data. I wouldn't go into the details of the various aspects of the systems, but I just mentioned that there's interface which allows applications to report provenance to Spade. And that interface is called the reporter interface. So essentially, we implement an LLVM reporter for Spade, which takes data from our instrumented application and converts it into provenance semantics. Now, we have two pieces of the puzzle. We have the instrumented application and Spade, which converts the instrumented data into provenance. And these are both running in their own separate address spaces. So the problem is how do we send this data to Spade? So the first approach that we considered, which was in retrospect possibly naive, but the first approach that we considered was simply printing the instrumented data in the output stream of the target application, which Spade could then read and then parse and so on. But this has many drawbacks. For instance, for obvious reasons, it makes the application unusable if it's an interactive application that the user uses. So, and also, it applications that act as daemons, which close their output streams and so on, wouldn't work well with this approach, because as soon as you launch the application, the daemon would close the output stream and we wouldn't get any events and so on. And furthermore, applications that spawn child processes through forks, they wouldn't be monitored either. So instead, we decided to use the TCP socket approach. And what we did was we write the instrumented data to a TCP socket, which the LLVM reporter can then receive and parse and convert to provenance semantics and so on. So in that regard, we also had to write a bridge. It's a small piece of code that would connect the instrumented application with this LLVM reporter for Spade via this TCP socket. So one effect of capturing provenance at this granularity is that there's a very high volume of data that you receive. So you're monitoring at the function level, and large applications could have thousands of functions or even more. And it's important for the user to be able to see what he or she is interested in. You don't want to inundate the user with such a high volume of provenance data. So to resolve this issue, we make use of Spade filters. So this is another part of the Spade ecosystem. Filters essentially sit between the reporter interface and the storage interface, and they allow you to perform arbitrary transformations on the provenance data as it arrives, but before it is committed to the final storage. So what the goal of our LLVM filter was to only essentially whitelist the functions of interest. And how we achieved that was the user would initially specify the functions of interest to the filter. And the user would also provide a static function call graph of the target application to the filter. Now, this function call graph can easily be obtained by the LLVM analyzer. So it's nothing fancy that the user has to do to obtain this function call graph. The LLVM optimizer has an analysis feature which allows the user to print the call graph of that target application. And what the filter does is it performs a reverse reachability analysis on this call graph to using the functions of interest to determine all the functions that need to be monitored. For example, if there's a call graph that has function A calling function B, calling function C, calling function D, and so on, and the user specifies function C as a function of interest, then doing reverse reachability, the filter can determine that A and B lie in the path to C, so therefore they also need to be monitored. In that way, it's easy to discard unneeded data, and essentially this filter acts as a whitelist of the functions that must be monitored. So this is basically the workflow of the process that I've just described. At the top, we have the source code of the target application, and we use the LLVM compiler to convert it into the intermediate representation, which is the bitcode. And using the tracer module, we insert provenance instrumentation code into this updated bitcode, which is then converted to the object code and linked with the bridge. That bridge is the TCP socket code that sends data to SPADE. So now every time that a function executes in the app, in the target application, it transmits the function level data to SPADE via the TCP socket. We evaluated our approach on the tiny HTTP web server, which is a very basic web server. And it has a single source file. So this made evaluation pretty straightforward. So the space overhead of injecting provenance instrumentation code into the final binary is roughly about 10%, as the final binary increased by about 2 kilobytes. And in the table, we also have the time overheads for each of these functions. And one thing that that's important to point out is that these functions are nested in the sense that accept request calls serve file, which calls cat. And so that also affects the overhead for the earlier functions, as the overhead doesn't just include the overhead of that particular function, but also the overhead of the functions that are monitored as a result of being inside this function. So what this produces is this. Just taking the earlier example, we see that now we can see the different stacks of execution within that application as it reads files and serves them to the clients. This approach is a first step right now, so it has notable limitations. The most obvious limitation is that it requires user to have access to the source code. Another one is that monitoring is only limited to the function entry and exit points because of the way that we're injecting provenance instrumentation code into the application. So even though we are monitoring some level of intra-process behavior, we don't claim that it's complete intra-provenance behavior because we're only monitoring the function boundaries and we don't have any visibility into the intra-function behavior. And another notable limitation is that we only have visibility into values that are primitives. So this is because in the intermediate representation that LLVM generates, there's no type information available. So for arrays or complex structs that are passed as arguments, we are unable to determine values of those. So if you go back and look at the example here, some of these values show up simply as structs, and they only display the pointer value. And basically, the latter two of these are areas of possible improvement and areas that we're working on right now and investigating to improve this. So essentially, that's the end of my talk, and I'd like to acknowledge Ian Mason's support for helping us develop the Provenance Bridge, and also the National Science Foundation for funding our work.
What if counting for the differences in overhead percentages?
The differences? That's a result of the instrumentation code that we've inserted. So the normal execution as it is, as it would have been without our instrumentation. And with the instrumentation, you can see the overhead of sending that data through the TCP socket to SPADE.
So the differences between or among the overhead percentages on the right, so one is 8.18, another one is 13.79. Why aren't they like all 2% or something like that? Like, why are they different?
Right. So it's not. The overhead isn't in just of sending data to SPADE, it's for executing the function. So the function headers would takes, as if you look at the normal execution, takes 23.2 microseconds to execute, whereas cat takes 70.4 microseconds to execute. So it depends on what the function is doing. So the overhead is basically of the added instrumentation.
Hi, thanks for that talk. Mark Cherini, Harvard University. So I have several observations / questions. So you mentioned that you're using a network socket.
That's right.
There are good reasons for using a network socket, including being able to distribute to different machines, et cetera. But for this like basic implementation, why wouldn't you just use something like a pipe?
Well, a pipe would be machine dependent in the sense that it wouldn't work for Windows. Setting up a pipe in Windows would be more complicated. It wouldn't be a standard implementation that we could go with.
Okay, that's good. Another question is the fact that you're limited to source code. Right. Have you looked into things like binary rewriting and inserting calls at function boundaries dynamically?
No, we haven't looked at that. We've discussed that in our related work, but we haven't thought of doing that.
And the last thing is, would you be able to use the facilities of LLVM to basically reduce the amount of data by filtering earlier in the process?
Right, exactly. I'm glad you brought that out because that's something we're actively looking at. As of now, we instrument the entire binary and we filter at a later stage, but that's a good point because filtering earlier would improve the performance as well. So that's something we're working on right now, so I don't have any conclusion on that, but.
I mean, these aren't horrible percentages. But obviously, they could be a lot better if you can reduce.
Right, absolutely. So this is a first step, and I totally agree with you.
Great.